This is a download from the BBC. Whistleblowers and rumour mongers, how to distinguish between the two? And is your truth the same as mine? I'm Carrie Gracie and this is The Forum, a world of ideas from the BBC. Joining us today from the United States, we have Princeton University's expert on state secrets, Rahul Sagar. And from the City of New York University, Jason Harsin, the academic who coined the term rumour bomb. Here in the Forum studio, novelist and president of the Brazilian Academy of Letters, Ana Maria Machado. Now, Jason Harsin, it's time we talked about your ideas. You're a professor of communication studies at Baruch College, City University of New York, and you coined the term rumour bomb. It's a powerful image. What is a rumour bomb and how does it start?
Yeah, well, a rumour, the classic characteristic of a rumour is a crisis of verification, a statement that one doesn't know immediately whether it's true or false. And we know from the metaphor of a bomb, it's something that explodes, it harms. So the way I've looked at it is its characteristics are a crisis of verification, a context of public uncertainty or anxiety. It's clearly partisan, or it turns out to be later. This relates to some of Raoul's points earlier about checking out partisanship. And then fourthly, it's in a context of rapid electronic diffusion. I first got interested in this just prior to the invasion of Iraq and around media coverage of weapons of mass destruction and so-called Iraq al-Qaeda links. Of course, in the beginning, it wasn't clear whether there were weapons of mass destruction or not, but increasingly, all the evidence seemed to point to no. Even last year, in 2012, a poll in the United States showed that over 60% of Republicans polled still believe that there were weapons of mass destruction that were found. And this is a problem that I don't think we've completely got at in this conversation so far, where it's not necessarily a problem just of what we might consider mainstream media or traditional prestige media like the BBC or the New York Times, but that increasingly, according to surveys, people consider things like Facebook, social media, news now. That is news to them. And that now battles with institutions like the BBC for authority in terms of claims.
Well, before we move on to look at some of those problems in greater detail, what about the Obama is a Muslim campaign? Does that meet your four criteria for a rumor bomb?
Yeah, I think so. And it's especially interesting, I think, because it points to new kinds of opinion leaders that are emerging in the new digital and traditional convergence of media. So these people who, it seems like in the past, did not get a lot of attention in mainstream news now become opinion leaders that mainstream news pays attention to because of new news values, because they feel like they have to, because it's spreading around or going viral on the internet. And so, yeah, I mean, Obama as a Muslim is one of those.
And yet, what's puzzling about that is I can't see why there should be any crisis of verification, which was your first criterion. Why is that a crisis of verification? He's not a Muslim. He said he's a Christian.
Yes, exactly. Then again, we have to go wider. We have to look at a wider scope of this problem, which is, first of all, this cultural shift where now people feel like they're re-empowered in terms of free speech after an age of mass communication where they could not broadcast from the BBC. They were very lucky to be on a show such as this and being broadcast around the world. Now we have what Manuel Castells, the sociologist, calls mass self-communication. And people want to use that. Why do they want to use that? Well, there is a crisis of trust in the present. World social surveys show that this is a problem that's global. There is a crisis of trust in government, in politicians, in media, lawyers, all the way across the social institutions. When you put these things together, also with the crisis in global journalism where there are hoaxes that go public, mainstream traditional media falls for them because of time-space compression and not being able to fact-check with enough time because their resources are dwindling. If we want to change these conditions, we have to not just look at one or the other, not just say criticize journalists, but ask what makes for good journalism. It takes funding, as many people out there are writing about. You get what you pay for.
Let's put this now to the others then. Ana Maria, this problem that Jason's describing, global, does it apply in Brazil? How is it dealt with there?
oh, it happens a lot and all the time there. The rumor bomb is an everyday thing, especially in election years or just before elections. And they tend to be supported by fake files, fake documents, hoaxes, false evidences, manipulated papers, fabricated mail and everything. And it begins in some newspapers or magazines, a lot on the internet. And maybe there is something of this, that the thing that Rahul was mentioning in his 60-second ideas, that internet has already some island that are inhabited only by people who think alike. And in a sense, at those moments, those islands just launch a rocket, and this rocket will carry a rumor bomb.
Rahul, is that an image that makes sense to you?
In a sense, it does. I think the broader problem is that the foundations of liberal democracies lie on this idea, especially when it comes to free speech, of the marketplace of ideas, that we want many people to speak and more speech is good because the best ideas will win out over time. And this was an idea that gained currency over the latter part of the 19th and early part of the 20th century, when the people who were in the marketplace were well-established, long-standing institutions, media institutions, journals, newspapers, and so on. Now what's happened is, as those traditional institutions come under pressure, and you have mass self-communication, as Jason described it, what you get is this kind of image of people firing off these rumor bombs. So you get conspiracy theorists. I mean, that's to answer your question about why, even though President Obama is not a Muslim, the rumor continues, is because you have fervent conspiracy theory circles who insist that really the birth certificate or record of live birth was manufactured by such and such person. There's always some reason not to believe a clear, compelling fact. And the challenge that this places on us is, you could go two ways. You could either, as Anna Maria says, you don't want to do this, you don't want to censor. That's not desirable. Well, the alternative is, I think, pretty much along the lines that Jason just ended with, which is, you don't just say you want responsible consumers of the media, because then that just encourages things like rumor bombs. You also want responsible producers. You want to invest in media critics. You want to invest in media ethics. Those are the things I think we haven't done enough of. And that's what's allowed free speech to turn into things like rumor bombs.
Jason, how do you make the rumor bombs go away? Is it a matter of investing in responsible producers and media ethics?
Yeah, I think it's partly that there is a serious problem with funding in many countries. But that doesn't get us around the problem of the acceleration in reporting and the competition to get scoops out, because someone will if you don't. That reflects back on the problem that people have with authority. When we have governments like that of the United States or of the UK that have misled people with the invasion of Iraq and evidence about nuclear weapons here and there, then now, and we've seen this with Syria lately, people don't believe it. They're more likely to believe, you know, contesting opinions about these kinds of things. If we want this to change, politicians and governments also have to set an example here. Otherwise, this kind of professional political communication that's about spin and misleading.
And yet, can I just interrupt for a moment? Should we want it to change? I mean, is that marketplace of ideas where 100 plants flourish, some of them rather weird and wonderful looking, is what we should be after?
Well, it's interesting because it's not just as easy as that. With the breakdown of mass communication, now we have an information overload, and we're trying to deal with that. But one of the first things that we would have to solve is that politicians have to stop investing in professionalized political communication that is about misleading. They set examples for the rest of the culture. When they do that, then average citizens are already trained to communicate about politics in that way.
And yet you can't, as one individual politician, set off down that lonely crusading path, because you won't last long in a democracy.
No. Again, it has to be a conversation. It's a political culture. Just as we're trying to figure out what is ethical using the internet, our free speech, et cetera, is also a cultural conversation. But we shouldn't separate these. That's really my main point. I'm kind of arguing, not with anybody on this program, but with other scholars out there that just want to go to making new laws, or they want to blame journalists, as I've said before.
Anna Maria, is there a gender element here? I mean, you've now got a female president in Brazil. Is it the men who engage in these dark political arts, the rumor bomb and so on, or are women just as much up for it when they get into politics?
I wish there were. There was, because then it will be a solution. All we had to do is not elect men anymore. It has nothing to do with the genders.
And yes. Rahul Sagar, I just want to ask you at the close whether you can survey the political landscape from the vantage point of the politics professor that you are, and tell us whether this rumour bombing is the same in all political cultures, or does it tend to be more those with a two big parties fighting kind of a system?
I think it is more widespread. The more important difference, I think, is something that Jason alluded to, and I hope I'm doing him justice here, the question of how technology has affected this phenomenon. So in, I think, more developing societies, still rumors spread less through things like Twitter or media, though that's also changing. And they're more localized, they're more small scale, and they're more limited in their reach and their destructive capacities.
Could I please say something there? Because I think that's a very important point. I think that less developed society with more educational leggings and problems are more prone to this crisis of verification, because they tend to believe more in this political communication that Jason mentioned.
And in fact, it's something that I want to throw back to Jason on the developing country question, and indeed developing politics question. You take a country like China. We haven't really talked about Asia very much, but take a country like China, which has just brought in new legislation to crack down very hard on people who spread rumours on the internet, and who have actually started picking off some of the big bloggers, the most followed bloggers, most followed tweeters in China, because they are so worried about the power of these rumours. Do you think that will work in a one-party system like that?
Well, with all of their attempts to monitor and block on the internet, they haven't been able to control it the way they would like. And this suggests, I think, in other places as well, that we'll have problems. Totalitarian regimes especially have problems with this kind of stuff. We saw in China in 2012 there were rumors of a coup in March, which caused many people to be arrested. So, no, I don't think they're going to be able to control that in any definitive way.
So there's no political system which gives you protection against the rumor bomb?
No, and people might argue, many scholars might argue that they shouldn't, that in certain totalitarian regimes that's a weapon of the weak and the only thing they have.
And there we are going to have to leave it. Thank you to all three of you, Jason Harsin, Ana Maria Machado, and Rahul Sagar.